Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that your presence is a most awesome and terrible yet wonderful thing, knowing that even as the prophet said years ago, let us wait upon the Lord and see if he will bring a blessing or a cursing. And we know that that is absolutely true. There's a blessing for those who walk in the light, as you are in the light, walking with each other in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing. And we know, Lord, the scripture also said that those that died having trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant by turning away from the law of Moses, we know that on one side there was a blessing, on one side there was a cursing. When you stood guard down there in Egypt, we know the hosts of Israel were safe. We know the hosts of the Egyptians were destroyed, overturned in the flood. We recognize these things, Lord, even in, as you said to the wonderful Apostle Paul over there in the book of Thessalonians, that when you came, it would be to reveal in your saints and also to bring judgment upon the wicked. And we pray, Lord, this morning as we recognize your presence and humbly bow in that presence. Graciously, Lord, we realize how gracious you are, and we pray now we'll be received. Help us, therefore, to know your word, because we know the word makes the dividing point. It is a division. We understand that, Lord. And we thank you now for the help that you're going to give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 27, long time getting here, in Satan's Eden. And in the sermon, Satan's Eden, we're well aware that Brother Branham states that Satan has been building his Eden for 6,000 years. He's been preparing it, which of course means that in this age and at this time we are actually seeing the final development and the coming of Satan's kingdom upon earth, wherein the scripture tells us that he will be enthroned and he will be worshipped in a church system. Now, that's the Bible. If you say you believe the Bible, then you are stuck with that. If you do not believe the Bible, then you may have your own philosophy. That's up to you. Now, beginning with the one word off, which Eve was one word off, just that little word thrown in there, thou shalt not surely die. When God said, you shall surely die, Satan said, you will not. We see the kingdom beginning and progressing until Jesus came and denounced just about 99% of Israel and said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and you are in his image. Paul the Apostle, of course, in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, was in the unfortunate position brought on by the people in their divisions, their schisms, and their folly of disbelief, to say to them in this 11th chapter, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, now you notice the loss of her virginity. This is what people do not want to accept. It's the same folly that was perpetrated upon Eve when she turned to the beast, the serpent, instead of the word. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was afraid of. Now notice what it says in this 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, in the concluding few verses that are there. And he says, in the entire wind-up, John is the scribe, taking down verbatim what was said. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So you see that the folly of listening to someone change the word of God results in separation from God, results in death. And so at the end time, it would be inconceivable for anybody to believe that a turnip would not remain a turnip, that a horse would not remain a horse. And from the growth of the seed to maturity of the final fruit which lay in the seed, that there could be any change, there cannot be. So what happened in the Garden of Eden could not change, as was demonstrated when Jesus himself, the promised seed to the woman, came. And Satan bruised his heel. You cannot change this understanding that the church in the time of Paul, which was a virgin, becomes a destitute prostitute at the end. Now, you can't change it. But nice to think you can. It'd be nice to think your church could do it. But that's not true. You cannot change it. The nakedness of Eve, who types the church, the prostitute to her husband, is revealed in Revelation chapter 3. And this is what she is saying, according to God. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now you know and I know, when any man uncovered another man's nakedness, it's talking about having an illicit sexual affair with his wife. Read your Bibles. So he's saying right here, the illicit sexual affair that Paul caught the virgin bride in is warned at the end time. Don't be caught in that affair, which is the pollution of the mind as it goes from the Word of God, because Paul said, you have changed. You've got another God, another Spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. Now, if that was the seed then, don't tell me that we don't have the fruit today, because we do have the fruit. You can't sow radishes and get pumpkins. You cannot breed horses and bring forth elephants. Neither can you sow the seeds of corruption in a church and not bring forth a prostitute church. And the Bible distinctly says there is going to be a whore church at the end, a harlot church with her daughter prostitutes. Now, you do what you want about it. I'm not here to convince anybody, but I'll tell you something in a little while. Now, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm outside the church. I've left you. We have honorable men sitting here this morning, and I love you. Some of you have never had a past of adultery or fornication, or like myself, have touched no woman but my wife. There's many of you sitting here. I want to ask you a question. How would you like to come back after being overseas for a long time and find your wife had embraced many lovers? I was yet in Canada during the Second World War. The RCMP was the busiest tracing down women who wrote John Doe letters to their husbands. The men fighting overseas for the very women they were married to, living as cheap prostitutes. with men. What do you think of Jesus? What do you think he thinks of a church? Now, come on. Eve types of church. I'm talking to women here who are virgins. I don't care if you've had 13 children. And I don't care if you've had three husbands, long as the first one died, and the second one died, and the third one is now living. You are virgins. I don't care what anybody else tells you. That's exactly what you are. And no sprinkling of a holy water will make you a virgin outside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Do what you want. You're free to. But you'll answer to God in the light of this scripture because you say, I believe it, and I've had experiences from it. Better we should tie our tongue in knots and choke ourselves now rather than the judgment where there's a lake of fire where the soul and the body can both be cast into hell and die. He said, I am outside. And I'm looking for people to come out. Right. We see what Satan's theology has done. It has put Christ completely outside the church and has deceived the church into believing that all is well with her. Now today we want to start in a little while to read on page 19, in paragraph 74. And as we read, we are going to see Satan's Eden described from the viewpoint of mental or educational knowledge, also carnal knowledge, where they both reach their zenith of sinfulness in this last hour. And you will notice carefully that as Eve or woman type the church back there, even so do women today type the church and churches. And we can tell exactly the spiritual condition of the church by watching the condition of women or their conduct. That's right. The Bible's full of it. In this hour of depravity, of sexual sins, we see the whole cosmos, both political and religious, now listen to me, and I don't mean to be crude, but I'm telling the truth, bent on persuading every person, every child. Now, don't contradict me, or I'll use vulgar language. Don't fool with me. I'll bring you a newspaper clipping right and show you. They are bent on, in their depravity, the church and religious politics also, persuading every person, man, woman, and child, to enter into a life of lust, sex apart from morals, educating all to practice sexual cohabitation to the hilt, and entering into every degraded practice, and then with that education demanding a further ultimate of scientific, moral education, call it what you will, so that scientists can cure their social diseases, giving them all the more liberty to indulge. Now call me a liar and I'll call your bluff. Because I can call it, honey child. You bet I can call it. Don't tell me that you can afford to not take your children in hand and warn them, even take them out of school and defy what is called the law. That's right. Because you're going to be told everything filthy thing by the high priestess of immorality, Mrs. Calderon. She's now backed up by the churches because the churches will be forced. They're literally being forced by the gays who control everything to tell the people everything is all right. There is one slogan today in the world, in your schools, And every place you go, it is called safe sex. Now there's a life in the pit of hell. I know what I'm talking about. Now remember, the woman was deceived. It says distinctly in 2 Timothy. The second chapter, 1 Timothy, I beg your pardon. And in the second chapter, verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. That types the church, as well as the woman herself. And I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now that tells you what Brother Branham said. When Brother Branham inquired of God, being a prophet, and through his ability to get answers, he wanted to know why it was that this happened. The answer from God was, it was not becoming for God to allow a son of God to fall, one of the original creation, so therefore woman was not in the original creation. Now that doesn't make woman dirty. Now let's get this plumb out of people's heads. This is a message that hasn't got to anything to do with running women down or making them feel inferior. They don't have a place. That is what the devil would like to tell you to make you kick up your heels and say, okay, I'll run the gamut. That's exactly what he wants. That's where Satan's deception was in the first place. He said, baby, you don't have to listen to Adam. Listen to me. I'll show you how to get liberty. Kick up your heels and have a great time. It's exactly what happened. Adam was not deceived. The scripture said Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now listen, notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing. Tell me what in the name of God has eating apples got to do with babies? You can tell right here the truth of serpent seed where it came from. The original sin was not the woman using her sexuality. It was cohabiting with the serpent. Not a slimy, snaky creature, but an upright one who looked almost identical and far more handsome than Adam. Ever since that time, people have been looking for the ultimate thrill. And it's always gone towards sexuality. That's exactly why people are homos, the majority. They try to cover it up and everything else. I realize because of hormones and things, there is a problem. Understand all these things, but also understand there is such a thing as a conscience. There is such a thing as a mind. There is such a thing as a spirit. There is such a thing as a soul. And above all, there is the Word of God. And the Bible said they are without excuse. Notwithstanding, be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In other words, it tells you right here that women will keep on bearing children as long as they abide in this Word of God. There will be no problems. Children can come forth. And there will be seed on earth of the children of God's children through the human race. But when they turn to bestiality, and that's what they started with, and that's what they've got now, the seed will have petered out, and they'll be brute beasts. I read it to you out of Peter, so don't try to tell something different. There's your complete serpent seed. Now listen, Adam, the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He was tempted, yes. He fell, yes. The beast was deliberate in what he did. Now put it together. Eve, the church, deceived. Not Adam. Adam, knowing better, deliberately took sides with Eve to obey the beast, which is an organization, because that's where the power lies. Apart, and that organization or that beast is apart from the true Word of God, because he deliberately changed the Word of God. And that's what you see in the church today. You find the power that's in organization telling the preachers what to preach. And they are forcing these things upon the people. Blind leaders of the blind, all falling into the ditch. Now this is what Brother Branham is saying as we begin to read, so we read. Now I'm going to read again what we read last week. Then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology. You say gospel of theology? Exactly right. Exactly. He said, yea, hath God said. Why, he said, God. I know him. I know about him. Let me tell you. Let me really explain God to you. Let me tell you what his word really is. He became a theologian. Right. He began to explain all about God. And he brought her the gospel, which means good news. He said, I've got good news for you. Now you tell me Brother Branham ever made a mistake in his language. I don't care if he's a Kentucky hillbilly, went to the seventh grade, and you maybe snooty guys want something better for an education. Hop to it. I'm going to tell you something. If I was starving, and I found some cornbread with some mealies in it, I'd chomp the mealy bugs down with the cornbread. There are no mealy bugs in Brother Branham's preaching. I'm just illustrating. Now, my wife, she might die of starvation, but not this bird. I just think that fussy, period. Not that I don't believe it. I don't believe in looking for worms. Now, don't misunderstand me. And I don't think it's good food because it got worms in it. I'm just telling you, hey, don't be snooty with a prophet. Amos was a common herdsman. William Branham was an ordinary hunter and fisherman. Then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology. What was his gospel of theology? His gospel of theology is told you here in the third chapter of Revelation. I read it. You're increased in goods. You're rich. You don't need a thing. Everything's just fine. That's exactly what his gospel was. Now listen to me, because I got a little bomb for you. When Eve listened to Satan, she got a mindset. M-I-N-D-S-E-T. You follow me? She got a mindset. There was no way she could go but after him. And as Brother Branham correctly said, Satan became her designer and fashioner. Now, you wonder why I preach the way I do every single Sunday, talking about the presence of God and his prophet. Because I want you to have a mindset. Oh, you say, Brother Dale, I think you're going too far. And I'm saying, Brother, Sister, you're not even up to my level. I'm ashamed for you, and I'm surprised for you. I thought you knew by now that you wanted a mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I thought you wanted to get back to where you became a conscious entity concerning the cosmos. I thought you wanted immortality. I thought you wanted glory. And you don't want a mindset? Paul the Apostle tried to give the virgin church a mindset. And she wouldn't take it. She turned it down. As Brother Branham so succinctly put it, he said, the mind is a womb. And when you get the true seed of God, your mind closes like a womb. So what can come forth is that which is born of the Word. Christ formed in us that we can come forth in His glory. That's a mindset. And if you and I don't get that mindset, we're not going to get out of here. Because that's what 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, is all about. Is getting that mindset. See? Positively. Not Satan's gospel of theology, but God's own gospel of theology. And Paul gave forth his prophecy when he said that day, which we believe is when those angels came down, that Christ came surrounded to take the headship of the church in the Spirit and by the Word. Paul said, when he comes to be glorified in his saints, you will be and you'll miss the judgment because you believed my gospel. Paul believed in a mindset. And there isn't any bride of Christ outside of a virgin of the Word. Let it be ever so little a revelation as long as it is correct. The word of the hour, as Brother Branham taught us. The gospel of his theology. The gospel of higher education. And so forth. Then when he got her to stop and listen to him a minute, to his reasoning, which were commanded to cast down, 2 Corinthians, when he got her to listen. Now look here, he says, the church is so-and-so. It has been established for so long. We're one of the oldest churches in the country. The mayor of the city goes here. Brother Branham answers, I don't care what it is, see? Now listen, if it's against God's word, be against it. Now that's a mindset. I don't want to harangue you. I've told you so many times now. You think I'm disappointed. When are you going to learn to stand up for the word? Because if you don't, it's not going to stand for you. It's not whose side is God on, but it's are you on God's side? Who is on the Lord's side? You've got to have a mindset. The mindset is the word of God. If it's against the word of God, you be against it. That is your enemy. The mindset. See? Now, preachers don't want me to have a mindset. But my mindset, I'm sorry, that's the prophet of God. That's a picture of the pillar of fire. That's the Lord Jesus Christ come down. Actually, Elohim, call it what you want because it's a spiritual factor we're looking at. Surrounded by those angels, God came down to put his church in order. He came down with a shout, which means order. Bringing all things under the feet of Jesus, who now sits upon the Father's throne. There are a bunch over in Hungary and Europe haven't got a clue to that. And I'm wrong because they don't listen to the prophet, and they think that I don't because they don't listen. They figure I don't. Because they don't understand, they're still back in Pentecost, they figure I am. I'm not. If you want to know how I abhor all these things, and you haven't found by my preaching, I could use stronger language if you want it, but it's not really for the pulpit. And by the grace of God, if I have to die for it, he'll give me strength. He's got to somehow. If I stand for him, he's got to stand for me, or who needs it? If God answered back to his son, he answers back to every son. Don't ever let's kid ourselves. That is your enemy. Anything that is against the word of God is your enemy. Everything that is for the word of God is your brother. And let me tell you this and get this fact. Only on this earth can human intelligence anointed by the true Holy Ghost be thoroughly B-E-F-O-R, not B-E-F-O-R-E, but before the Word. And those people alone are your brothers. Now you do what you want. Oh, this is a cutting message. This is a cutting word. But my Bible tells me, cursed is that man who draws his sword and doesn't draw blood. My Bible tells me the word of God is sharp and a two-edged sword, cuts both ways, and it proved that it discerned the thoughts and intents of men's heart. While it brought down the word of God, that sword of the prophet cut God wide open. It cut people wide open. And we saw exactly what lay in God and what lay in men. And we said, ha, ha, ha. There's nothing to it. That is humbug. 8 years I've tried to give you a mindset. In those 8 years, I've got a mindset. I can't explain everything. I don't pretend I enjoy everything. I don't pretend I jump up and down with joy in the presence of God. I don't pretend any of these things. You pretend all you want. I am not a camouflage up here. I bear my heart. You do what you want with your heart. I don't care. That's between you and God. I bear mine. I want everything in the open because this is white throne. And I tell you, I don't pretend to be because I'm not anywhere near what Brother Branham was. I don't have anywhere near the revelation. I don't have anywhere the empathy. I have nowhere the sobriety. Nowhere the sincerity. I have not that. But I stand here with my mindset. And my mind is set to say one thing with my mouth. Either this is it or there's nothing. I'm where Paul the Apostle was. If this doesn't work, we're of all men most miserable. Phooey. Eat, drink, and be merry. Forget it. There's a mindset. Say, well, Brother Bill, that means you're stubborn. Well, that's what you said. I didn't. I'm not stubborn. I've got a mindset. Is the horse stubborn because he remains the horse? Is the dog stubborn because he remains a dog? Curse the radish because it doesn't turn into a carrot. You say, Brother Vail, that's being a jackass. Then don't be a jackass with me. Cuts both ways, doesn't it? I'm not saying you're that. I'm just saying the way it is. Now listen, everything that is for the Word is your brother. Everything that is for the Word is your brother. Everything that is for the Word is your brother. And if you don't love your brothers because of one reason, there's something in there about the Word. Well, did you hear what I said? You don't understand what I said any more than I understand what I said, but I said the truth because I understand this much. I've been preaching for 8 solid years. And it came to me as it always comes. I feel something. I know it is there. I may preach a little error in this respect. I cannot preach it clearly to you, but I know it is there. And when it comes out, it comes. I preached a whole series on love one time. And I knew I was really a hypocrite within my heart because I was groping for something I knew was there, really, and I also had in mind to clobber people with it. And I'll tell you why I was clobbering. Because I can't stand these whoremongers like Jones living with women and then saying he's got love. And men like you and me standing here with the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost defying the immorality of the hour. And we don't have love. What is he talking about? Filth is all he's got. Don't talk to me. And I waited for this hour. And I knew it was there. Because you can't love a man who calls himself a brother who is outside that word because the reciprocating life in the word is not there. Now you can love him as a human being. You can have compassion. You can do every single thing. But you cannot make the word of God fight itself. You cannot take somebody that's not a son into the presence of God. And that can be wise and foolish virgin. That can be the 144,000. And they're not even wise or foolish. They're eunuchs. They attend the bride. The others up there, the multitudes, how many millions, I don't know, that are bride, comprise the holy city, 1,500 square miles, this way and that way up above. It's a pyramidal structure. The rest of those are those cut of the same material, but they classify as foolish virgin or whatever. I don't know what they all classify. They bring their glory in. And nobody but nobody, unless it is a true Son of God, that which died in Adam and made alive in Christ somehow, and I don't pretend to understand it all, with the holy angel and creations in there that God wants to allow, there isn't anybody else. There just isn't anybody else. Because it's the whole family of God that's united. That's your brother. You see why I preached all these years? Now listen, if there is a real brotherhood in here by the word, every single thing is going to break down amongst us. And where it isn't, it's going to get wider and deeper. And I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you, come on. You can't have it both ways. I cannot breed a horse and bring forth dogs. I can't sow carrots and bring forth radishes. What am I supposed to do about this? Do I suddenly now believe in a profligate God, a God who changes his mind, a God that's capricious? When he said, every seed bringeth forth after his kind, am I supposed to now say, Lord God, I've got some smart scientists here. We are going to go into genetic engineering. We are going to splice and slice and resplice and then join together. And we're in, we're going to go so far as to take a human cell and a monkey cell, a gorilla maybe, and we're going to make a kind of a human animal out of this, and we do it just right. We'll have servants. Ain't going to get that far. Now notice she pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. Yeah, she did that. Compare that, he said. What lust really was. What lust would really do. She pulled the veil from off her eyes. The holy thing that God had put over her eyes. She wanted knowledge to know what it was all about. Now listen, she didn't know all about it. It was all there, but she didn't know all about it. And in due time, God would have revealed every single thing concerning it. And you know, for what she did, what happened? Multiplied conception came on the scene. That's how you got an Esau and a Jacob. That's how you get your Ishmaels and your Isaacs. That's why Brother Branham said that when God brings into being a son, it is far more difficult than a virgin birth, because now he traces right down from Adam and Eve all the way down. Discounting the seed of the serpent. And yet one lump was in the ark except for Noah. He alone was perfectly genetically human being. The rest were an admixture. You understand why people can't take this message? They're not pure. They can't get a mindset. Oh, I say to my dog, hey, Buster, come on. Tell you what. 2 and 2 make 4. Now you answer back, 4 and 2 make 6. Won't work. I can teach him a trick. Won't do any good. Dog doesn't understand my mind. There's no communication. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. What caused the first murder? Well, antinomy. Anti-word. Cain had a mindset. Abel had a mindset. Luther had a mindset. Here stand I. Can't move. The light of God had pierced his Roman Catholic heart. It was no more Roman Catholic. It wasn't even Protestant. It was a son of God. Don't talk about Protestant and Catholic. Talk about sons of God. And don't pretend you're somebody if you belong to some organization. It just shows you don't belong to God. If you do, you get out of it. So she pulled the veil off to see what it was all about. She listened to the devil. Notice what a place it put her in. In other words, what came of it? What's coming of it now? Homosexuality. She entered into the act which was proper with the proper man for the proper thing. But she did it with the wrong motive and understanding, and it backfired. They have done the same in each age thereafter, always taking the intellectual side, always appealing to reason. In other words, what if the Word of God does say so? Hey, look at here, look at here, look at here. Now, let's be honest. Let's make a comparison. Hey, now, listen. Now, hold on. Now, I know you believe in God, and I know you. But listen, just listen to me, will you? Because I've got something to tell you, too. Now, you figure this out. Now, anybody that has that attitude doesn't believe the Bible, because Abraham stood there 100... Well, first of all, he wasn't 100 years old. He was 75. He waited 25 years for the son. At 75, his wife was no longer to bear a child, but he was able to cause a woman to conceive one, which he did. But God said, aha, you're wrong. Ishmael was a curse then, and he's a curse now. What? Because you can't change the seed. Or we'll go over there to Arafat and Saddam, and we'll maybe produce, we hope, another Anwar, say that. You know Egypt and Israel's friends? Israel had better be, because they gave Israel shelter in a time of need. But God said, never go down there for help. Keep clear of the Egyptian armies, their philosophy, everything, because remember, I destroyed them when they turned on you. But you be nice. But that's not said of the rest of them. Hussein's not so bad, but the rest, some of those fellows. You're not going to change him. Oh, let's get Khomeini. Oh, when he gets saved, he'll be a real Christian because he's had all that bad experience. He died a blasphemer. What are you trying to tell me? You say, well, can't some of them get saved? Oh, sure. It's all one of them. But you're not going to change the nations. Only God will deal with any nation one. And that 144,000. Oh, yes, the intellectual side. Oh, let me appeal to your reasons. So they said to Abraham, let me appeal to your reason. My God, man. She hasn't had a menstrual period for years, and now you couldn't perform the act. It wouldn't do you any good anyway. And you're saying that she's going to be a mother and you a father? Oh, for God's sake. Come on. Now be honest with me this morning. Are you so sanctified and so holy? And you say, well, if I'd have been back there, bless God, I never told that to Abraham. You're a liar. You're the first one that would have done it. Because Jesus said in the days of Jesus, if you said we'd understood and not crucified him, you'd be the very guys that did it. And you can't change the seed. There's a mindset. You believe that? You better. You had better. If you don't, you're lost. You can't believe, brother, sister, this message unless you're predestinated to it. You're not going to save your wife and your kids. They're never going to understand you. I don't even care if anybody does. That's not the point anymore. I want my mind so set with this word that I'm sequestered behind it 100% that the life might come through and not another life of some description. Because when Eve let her mind go to Satan, another life began to take over. And there's only one way to get it back, and that's by the life that's in the Word. And if I don't have that life in the Word, how am I going to get sequestered behind the rock of ages and come forth in the time of the tempest? Because that's the great tribulation starting, and stand here mortal with him. I know, brothers, sisters, it's an easy question to answer if you just get on God's side. Don't ask God to get on your side. Get on God's side. Always taking the intellectual, that's the Alpha. Omega then will be the same thing. And have now built a kingdom of Satan. Satan's knowledge, his seed that he sowed. And has taken the world to be an Eden of death. Satan did that. Everything is dying. Everything is in a condition of regression. Only God can bring it back. Brother Branham here is not condemning intellectual, educated, talented people. He is talking about the theologians. He is talking about the blind leaders of the blind who dare to believe that somehow the Word of God needs them to be the Word of God. That they can do something about it. No. The Genesis seed of Satan's kingdom is reasoning. So the end of this age is the crop or the harvest
of the fullness of reasoning. Sex and education. Now, some time ago I read, and I think my figures could be right, I'm not positive, that by 1990, knowledge would double 2 times per year or every 6 months. That doesn't mean you're going to know double this end of the year, what you knew the first of the year. I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking to you about what is in the books, what's in the computers, what you can get your hands on. Listen, whole books are written by biologists who study the wings of a butterfly. But nobody looks into the Word of God except through human eyes and reasonings, the devil. They don't want to go through the Word of God by revelation. God's revelation was you're going to die. God's revelation to this age, you're going to die. And everybody says millions now living will never die. It's based upon the premise of the original Church of Rome. We are going to rule the world for Christ and bring it in submission until He comes down and takes over and says, well done, good and faithful servant. I got news for you. He comes down and destroys everybody. When He comes back, He destroys everything, sets the whole thing on fire in order to replenish the earth. That is with vegetation and those things. Now, notice Revelation 3, the Laodicean church age. Now listen, you think it in your mind. He's telling you, get a mindset on Revelation 3. The church is wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Yet all the time screaming, we're rich, increasing goods, we don't lack a thing. Christ is our husband. He is in our midst. He is here. Listen to us talk in tongues. Listen, show it. We'll show you how the miracles are here. And he says, I'm outside the door. Behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. It doesn't say meet him. It says come on out. Behold him. And then it says at that time, the wise go in and the foolish stay out. What happens to the foolish? They're all died like, they die like dog meat. They're destroyed. Hunted down like animals. What happens to the wicked? They stay here until the Lord comes and destroys them. Now listen, notice, she, Eve, is Satan's queen. See, Satan, the serpent, got to Eve before Adam got to her. Oh, they hate that one. Because they think the beast was a great big four-footed elephant that he would have to rake deep. Don't be ridiculous. He was a prettier man than Adam was. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. He had it all over Adam. Do you ever find one Christian boast like Hugh Hefner, he had at least 2,000 women? Why, Paul the Apostle didn't even have a woman. I'm telling you something. Listen to it. That's where it all started. And the big boast is there. Brother Branham condemned Hollywood. He told you what Hollywood was really like, but he didn't live to see it. I'm glad for Brother Branham. You know, he got terribly upset about things I just looked at and said, it killed him. It doesn't kill me. I could come out almost killing, but it doesn't kill me. I admit it. I can see my eyeballs can flash fire. I don't say they should. I don't say it. I'm no paragon of virtues, but I can tell you this. I can know Brother Branham's 100% right. And there's no use trying to tell him. Because the minute you start telling them, they'll pick you up and throw you in jail. Ah, yes, they will. Oh, yes, you keep your children from the knowledge they want, and you are a pervert. And they'll throw you in jail for being righteous and decent, trying to bring your kids up right. Yeah. Oh, they will. You watch and see. I'm not kidding any. I'll put the notice on the board out there. Okay. Look at the Laodicean age. She, Eve, is sitting at Satan's queen, rich in worldly goods, blind, naked again, don't know it. That's right, the Bible says so. Just like in God's Eden. But now there is no holy veil over her face, but the lust veil, because she took off God's holy veil and put on a veil of knowledge for lust. Now, come on. Anybody over 16, younger than 16, you know how you just love to go to Hoochie Cooch Show and see the gal strip. Who's running to see the men strip? Come on, look at the picture. They got a lust veil on. Take a poll about women. Ask what they think is most sexual about a man. You all know the answer because you read the same as I did. They should go, huh? Women? Oh, I thought women had a deeper sense of morality, you know. Oh, you did you? You better wake up and smell the coffee. For how many cases of rape, how many women are giving themselves to several men right now at this minute? There's your answer. You say, well, Brother Vail, you're putting too much on a woman. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm putting the Word of God where it is, that's all. I didn't write the Bible. No, I didn't write the Bible at all. She put on a veil of knowledge for lust. And now she has a lust veil that she is blind to, being in sin. She is naked on the street and doesn't know it. She is a prostitute on the street. Women in these shorts on in God's sight are prostitutes and don't know it. Now, Brother Branham said the truth. And the Word of God cannot change because the seed cannot change. He said, if my mother had gone down the streets of Jeffersonville wearing the clothes that women wear today, they would have put her in jail as an indecent woman or the institution as being insane. And that's exactly right. Tell me, when did God come down and change his morals? Well, come on. I want to know. If it was right then, it's right now. If a woman had to have long hair then, it's right now. If there's a certain thing back there, it hasn't changed. She started 6,000 years ago, then 2,000 years again. Notice the attitude of the homo, the hetero, and the bisexual is all the same. Get with it. Sex is it. And maintain it. Don't worry about death. Do it anyway. Now, don't tell me I'm wrong, and don't tell me I'm indecent up here preaching it. I read the papers. I read the books. I know what's going on if you don't. I'm not hiding my head in the sand. And I'm telling you exactly as it is, because that is the clarion call today. That's what it's all about. Get with it. There isn't one song amongst these jerks out here that's being sung, this rock and roll, this filth that doesn't exalt not only sex, but abusive sex. I tell you, if I was a young person rearing a family right now, I think I'd buy me a shotgun and God knows what I'd do. And I'd kill anything that moved near my kids. You say you're an anarchist. Am I now? I can't protect myself according to the First Amendment. I can't take care of myself. You wonder now why the American, the National Rifle Association is fighting so hard. Now, I'm against them with those burp guns and those other Uzis, and I'm plumb against that. I will not stand for it. They should be completely outlawed. I'm not even against registering guns. Just because they're registered doesn't mean they can come and take them. You got to have a law passed. And the people vote the guys in that want that, then they can vote the same guys out. I'm not an anarchist. But I tell you, brother, sister, you better apply the token to your home, because you can't take a gun. And you can't keep protecting your children. You can't walk being that with them. You're going to have to turn them loose down the road. And the only thing you can do is say, my God, you're here with your word. And he is not a God of creation in my books, though he is. That's subterfuge. He is not a God of love, though he is. That also is subterfuge. He's a God of his word. That is not subterfuge. There's a difference. You know it and I know it. Take our women. Now, if you want to see the condition the church is in, watch the way women are acting. She always represents the church in Satan's Eden of sin and unbelief, a religious perversion. Perverted kingdom. What is a perversion? A perversion is not an original. Right? A perversion is not an original. Satan never made anything. He's not a creator. He can take what is there and work with it. And because Satan is not a creator, then he cannot make up words. No. Because words must describe something to do with creation, either as to its components, its attributes, or what it manifests and the manner it does it. So when you talk of perversion, you talk of what has been original and is now with a twist. This is exactly what we are looking at. We are looking at the twist. The church having twisted, as Satan did, the things of Almighty God. I want you to look over here in Philippians, the second chapter. And in the 11th verse it says here, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now it tells you, no matter how perverted a tongue is, no matter what condition a person comes in, it tells you every tongue is going to have to confess. But you know something? That's not what this verse is saying. Let's look at it. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. There's that mindset. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, prize be grasped, retained, meet with God. In other words, he didn't say, well, I'm going to remain the Son of God up here, co-equal. God creating everything through me and manifesting and doing everything. I'm going to come down here and become a man under complete jurisdiction of God. Emptied himself of what he was, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now watch. The name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now first of all, I want you to notice there are two confessions involved here. The one confession is based upon grace by what Jesus did. And he's not saying, now bless God, I laid this aside and I'm going to do so and so. And I'm going to club you into submission and bless God, you will praise my name, you will do so and so, you will do so and so. It doesn't say that. People just think it does. The actual truth is by what he does. And we know his grace. We know our kinship. We confess that he is Lord. We love him and know him. This is worship. By fellowship, by gender, which is sons of God. The rest will be forced to. They'll be standing there. And let me tell you, even after the white throne, they will not be confessing it as you and I are. Because they are going to come against the holy encampment and try to destroy it. They will not be singing hallelujahs to Jesus and praising his name. They'll be, Satan will, in his group will be trying to destroy him once more. And fire will come down and settle their hash as they're thrown into the lake of fire. And at that time, there won't be any confession, really. They'll just know it. Do you think for 1 minute Satan's going to admit anything? Nah. This is the beauty of grace, brother, sister, we've been talking about. Yep. Okay, perverted kingdom. Instead of taking God's word, they have taken the intellectual learning of men. Instead of taking the church, they took the organization and they're bringing it to one great head. Naturally, that would happen. Perverted from innocence. In other words, the very thing that was there and was right, they must have used wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's perversion. Like I said a while ago, any woman can be married three times to three different men, have the first two having died, having children by every one until she had maybe 13 children. That woman is a virgin. There's no perversion there. She's innocent. She was made for it. The men that married her, were they clean? Absolute virgin men? Man could have several wives as long as each one died. See? Now don't, perversion from innocence. Now don't miss this now. The church has long been existing with this lust veil upon her. Way back yonder. Notice what it's done to her. It has perverted her from innocence to knowledge. Now watch. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Innocence to knowledge. What was it that defiled the woman before she was ever defiled by the act? The mindset. She strictly laid aside the mindset of the Word of God. She strictly went to the mindset of Satan, and that was it. She's not innocent now. Because she broke her vow to her husband, she's gone down the drain with that. She has gone to knowledge. First of all, it was an evil knowledge that said, you shall not surely die. Oh, no, that's not so. Then it became a carnal knowledge. In plain English, what am I telling you? It is not only sex. It is everything that comes from unbelief. Unbelief is a perversion of belief. A lie is a perversion of truth. So therefore, what this woman did sexually was only to bring about the races. But everything else comes out of her from the mind. Now let's look at man, what he's done in nature here. Now, I think I'm right on this, but you boys that are scientists will have to correct me. Maybe you can't because you haven't read, maybe to that extent either. But I understand that the first time that our scientists, our chemists, really got into a nature whereby they began splitting that which lay within nature. Let's just call it like genes or chromosomes or elements. Then they reconstituted it, and the first reconstitution, I can be wrong here, was DDT. Ever since DDT, all hell has broken loose upon the earth. A perversion. Who was this old boy that used to be the postmaster that they hated? Oh, the Reds and the liberal left wings, they make him as though he were a filth of the universe. He was a wonderful Christian, and he wouldn't let pornography go through the mails. I think his name was Anthony. I'm not positive. My memory's not that good. I used to know his name real well, but I kind of lost it in the shuffle. Too many names. But anyway, they even tried to kill him by putting bubonic plague in something they delivered to him. And they will tell you, and all these antichrists, this filth in America, will tell you, because you see, he was so strict. He took upon himself to be an authority, and which would mean he would bar things, taking away our rights. So now the homo's got the right to pollute the world, and I've got the right to die. Oh, brother, sister, don't think for one minute we're not at the end of the age. If we're not, I'm ready to jump off the bridge, I tell you right now. She said, God, get me out of here, or take, I'll go out of here myself. Hope that will never happen. And maybe we ain't seen nothing yet, but we will. All right, see, they tried to destroy this fella. A good man. who wanted to keep the males clean, who wanted to keep the people clean. They said, we don't want that fellow. Get rid of him. And they've been doing it ever since. Now listen, the holy veil, she was under the holy veil, she was innocent. With the lust veil, she is knowledge. Now, at the same time we made the DDT for the insects, we had an outbreak of gonorrhea from the Orient. It was almost impossible to cure. Now, let me go a little further. You people know what dirt is, don't you? Do you know that the dirt that you have under your fingernails, the dirt you have in your flower pots, the dirt that your kids are playing in, is host or house to billions of little buggies. Good ones and bad ones. And there is a war in there by the good ones to maintain the balance so the bad ones don't take over. Now what has science done? They have gone to every place in the world and find the goody buggies. And they have made out of it what you call penicillin from mold. And everything that would destroy these bad bugs. Now, man's body is from earth and goes to earth. And they've been injecting cattle and everything else until now they have bred super bugs. Huh? From the bad bugs. So there are no good bugs left to take care of the bad bugs. Now you're going to sleep on me. You sleep until eternity for all I care. You ain't listening. It's your tough luck, not mine. Just go to bed. I had 2 hours sleep last night. If I had that, and I'm wide awake. Now let's get this flat. You are at the end of the trail. There are diseases which cannot be controlled. Not just because God said so. That was not a diabolical prophecy. You know what I mean? A dirty prophecy on the part of God. God said men would bring it upon themselves. Why did my immune system go out? I was a fool listening to doctors take antibiotics. Oh, what a time the world's in for. The lust veil. The lust veil that's epitomized in sex, but is manifested around the whole earth until Saddam sits back. Okay, Israel, smart off. We'll kill you with germs, and we got billions of them. And France was too happy to help her. And West Germany was too happy to help her. America that saved them sold out in the Marshall Plan. Thinking, save those nice Catholic countries so they won't be commie. So stupid not realizing everywhere the commies went, the Catholics went rather, the commies are. What's going to happen to America shortly? It's so full of venereal disease right now, so full of AIDS, the whole bit. If what Dr. Douglas says is correct, then he is right down there at the Communicable Disease Center, the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, fourth generation doctor. By 1995, nobody's got a prayer. You see it, Brother Lustveil. Man wanting to fulfill his pleasure. And isn't it strange? Today our wives have more gadgets to work with, and I love gadgets. I'm worse than my wife. I say I buy her everything she wants and everything she doesn't want because I want it. You know how we do out there. I'll supply pots and pans, you name it. I got a little thing that makes pierogies. Haven't made any yet, but I got it sitting on the shelf. One day I'll get the thing down. I bought a pasta machine because I like pasta. Haven't got them working. I'll get it working one of these days. She likes to eat. I love to eat. Fortunately, I'm one of those guys that don't show it. So you can feed me good, you know, pretend I'm, you know, pretending you're nice to me. See? Education. Our women have less time than ever. It hasn't worked. When God takes back this country, we are going to be sitting under our own vines and fig trees. That's right. We're not going to be out there messing around. Lamb will lie down with the lion. Everything's going to be nice. There won't be marriage as we know it now. There won't be sin as we know it now. There'll be that wonderful, beautiful faith up there, and there'll be not innocence, there'll be righteousness. Do you know that Adam and Eve were innocent? Abel wasn't. He was righteous Abel because he knew the Word of God. We are righteous brethren because the Word separates. The holy veil in us, he was innocent. With the lust veil, she is knowledge. She knows it's pleasant. She knows what it does see. It is a fruit, a tree to be desired, making one wise. And I'm going to tell you, knowledge is a tree. You plant it. It grows, it grows, it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it fills the whole earth. Now the earth is full of machinery. Now the earth is full of violence. It's full of chemicals. And they've only begun to find out exactly what the great, wonderful social revolution in Russia has really done. Oh, the brotherhood of man and these stupid, ignorant politicians that are red from cover to cover, and they stink to high heaven with their idolatries and their super knowledge, so-called. Russia is a cesspool. You go over there in a plane, and they say it rise and ground like a mist. Chernobyl will be felt around the world. What about that cloud that came out of Russia? It went into Finland. Nobody tells us about it. 9,000 to 15,000 feet high. They just said, we don't know at this point. And it says, it's blowing out like steam. 60 miles long. What is it? I don't know. Maybe she read something I didn't read. Tell me. I'll be glad after church to know about it. There's your science. There's your lust veil. There's your church pretending we're building a great empire. Oh, yeah, we want everybody to just have it real easy. We got fourth generation bums. My Bible said a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Why doesn't the country provide jobs? I'll tell you why. Because the rich man has joined land to land, and Reagan allowed it. And house to house. The leverage buyouts. Now there's no work. The lust veil. All started back there. And you know the tragic part is this, brother, sister, that old serpent race that got in there. Because normally, by itself, the Adamic race was known as the children of light. They were peaceful. They were kind. They were loving. They knew a blessed, wonderful God they worshipped and adored. But the men got looking around at the pretty women out there. And you could have knocked your eyeballs off of the stick. Come on, I'm telling the truth. Read your history. That lust for knowledge did it. Fruit to be desired makes one wise. Perverted minister knowledge from holiness to filth and lust and from life to death. And if you don't think that's the truth, how come abortion is so rampant? It's okay to have sex. Go ahead. So now they bring forth little babies. They don't want them, so they destroy them. That's fine because they say, well, at least it doesn't have age or something else, you know. These statements of Brother Branham may be difficult to rely on as our minds want something more complex, more sophisticated. We simply cannot trust the pure, unadulterated Word of God that tells us at the end of time, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 to 14, when a certain book is opened and cannot be closed, the righteous are righteous still, the filthy are filthy still, the seed stands out, there is no more intermingling, they are two solid and different lumps, it is all over, and one goes to the tree of life and immortality, and the other goes to the lake of fire. You say, what about the foolish virgin? They'll all be killed off. You can't change the Word of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open their heart, come in to him and he would mean something mean. What's he talking about? He's talking about 1 Thessalonians 4:16 when the Lord descends with a shout. He's talking about 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, when the Word of God divides. And yet people writing this message don't dare to believe that Brother Branham said in Matthew 25, that's the word of God dividing you. But in Luke 17, that, when one taken, one left, that is the rapture. Oh, they said, Levi made it up. I am happy they gave me credit. That is a brilliant statement by a tremendous prophet, and it's the truth. I wish I were the one to take the credit. But you know, I must be modest, which is very hard. You know, I'm kidding you. Brother Branham said it. I'm so glad he said it, because it's 100% with the Word. Brother, sister, it's 100% with the Word. Noah was a creature of righteousness. Separated the people. It wasn't the ark. The ark saved them. Do you believe it? That's the message, brother, sister. That's Satan's Eden. We'll get finished next Wednesday or something. Just keep reading. You see it all outlined before you. The prophet didn't make a mistake. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your grace and your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, in this hour that thou hast hidden all these things from the wise and the prudent, because they have the lust veil over their face. I'm not glad about that, Lord. But your word did say, and I know what Brother Branham told me personally, to look up when all these things come to pass. We're not rejoicing that people are going to be destroyed. We're not rejoicing. Lord, you know our hearts. We don't have to explain in our prayer to the people. We're explaining to you. You know our hearts. But God, we do know that we're not going to change one single thing. Because except the Lord had a seed left at the time of the harvest, there wouldn't be anybody. God, we raise our hands and our hearts this morning. We want to be identified as part of that seed. We know just doing this isn't going to do it. But Lord, when you speak back by your word and that word becomes revealed and we know it, Lord, and we know we're hot concerning it, oh God, or we're trying to be, this is the thing, Lord. Maybe we're putting too many sticks of our own in the fire. God, you got to forgive us if we are. We don't mean to be. But Lord, in heaven, we stand with this word. We believe, Lord, that word will live within us somehow, some way. We're not looking to ourselves anymore, because that's a complete flop and a failure. If it were just something, Lord, that could lie down and die, that wouldn't be half bad, but we know it doesn't lie down and die. It goes marching on. All this life goes ahead of us just leaving a body, and one day there'll be a body to catch up with the whole thing. We've got to stand there. Father, I would love, and every member in this church this morning, every man, woman, child, no matter what it is, will make that first resurrection, Lord. And if not, make it in the second resurrection. We don't know what your plans are, because we know the foundation of God stands sure in this city. The Lord knoweth them which are his. And somehow, Lord, this morning, we can believe that every single person here is actually under the blood and under the token. And if not now, then. And we all come together in that great and wonderful land. In the meantime, Lord, we know that everyone that turns this word down is not our brother, but everyone that accepts it is a brother, is a part of us, a part of you, a part of each other. Walking in the light, as you're in the light, we have fellowship, each one of us, one another. The blood is cleansing us. As Brother Branham said in this day, you know, I'm in the Father, you and me, and I in you. That's one of the times of it. We believe it's now. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, may your grace and mercy be with us, and your healing virtue touch us all. Only to this end, that we may serve you as we've never served you before, with our entire energies. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.